Are you into Michael Bay? Are you into Steven Seagal? Well, that's not what we talk about on here. We talk about classic films and dark humor. Everything from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, the fight between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford that led up to Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. Bruce Dern knew a thing or two about that because he was in Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. So here at Classic Films, or Dark Humor and Classic Films, we talk about everything. We're in the middle of a very crazy world. Inflation, Russia, and Ukraine. And it's basically out of the playbook of Dr. Strangelove, or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. Because it was the bomb. When I record these shows, I record them, and I like to just get the let out. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about the humor of it all. To quote Bruce Dern, when Joan Crawford showed up at the Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte set and saw her good friend Olivia de Havilland sitting in her seat, she said, "Libby, what are you doing in my chair?" And Bette Davis said, now this is from Bruce Dern, quote, I'm quoting Bruce Dern. Bruce Dern said that Bette Davis looked at Joan Crawford and said, "She's in your movie now, cunt." Yes, yes. Oh, it's getting crazy up in here. It's just getting crazy. And when I do this show, I do it well. We live in crazy times. We live in crazy times where people are, you know, conspiracy theoried, and they're swapping that stuff. And at the same time, we have these beautiful classic films that you can go and watch during these crazy times. It was March 13th, 2020, or let me put the Barbara Walters on in that. March 15th, 2020, when I watched The Seventh Seal, Ingmar Bergman's tale of the Dark Ages, the plague, good and evil, the Crusades. That famous scene of Max von Sydow and Death playing chess on the beach. It has been parodied many times in The Last Action Hero, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Need I Say More? The Seventh Seal really introduced the world, especially the Western world, to Ingmar Bergman and Max von Sydow. And after that, it was a storm of fury and of excellence, filmmaking-wise. You know, Ingmar Bergman really goes down as the major one in the film industry. Some people would say that his films were really, really depressing. Some people smoke a bowl to them. What can I say? I didn't. Because I'm aware of the complexities of The Seventh Seal and of the filmmaking of Ingmar Bergman. When you look at something like Ingmar Bergman's body of work, it is crazy. He very rarely did films in English. I think parts of Autumn Sonata are in English. Autumn Sonata was the first time he ever worked with another Swedish export, and that's Ingrid Bergman. And he was also working with his muse at the time, Liv Ullmann. Liv Ullmann is still with us to tell the tale. This month, she's going to receive an honorary Oscar along with Samuel L. Jackson and Danny Glover, who's going to receive the Jean Hersholt Award. The Academy Awards themselves are, I think, 2 weeks away. So now you have time to watch all of those films. I recently watched Coda. It was so moving, so amazing. And I go back to how did films handle people with disabilities back in the day? Not very well. Not very well. And how now things have totally changed. Is it for the better or is it for the worst? Here we are in 2020. And I want to remind you that my podcasts are a safe space. I'm not going to rail on you like Joe Rogan. Okay? I'm not going to obsessively talk about DMT in my bald head. First of all, I have hair. Or the fact that he looks like Putin. But anyway, yeah. Or to say something idiotic that the last great comedy was The Hangover. Seriously, dude? Have you looked at the world recently? There's a lot of great comedy out there. A lot of great. He talks about wokeness because, you know, Joe Rogan thinks he's funny. He's not funny. And if you're a Joe Rogan fan, great. You must think he's really funny. You know, yeah, it's funny when it's in the Walmart bargain bin. Shots fired right there. Classic films and dark humor. If I were to cast Joe Rogan in a classic film, I would cast him as Quasimodo. I don't know what if he would go down with the ship or down with the Belfry or even Dr. Jekyll, Mr. DMT. He seems to be obsessed with DMT. It's cute. At the same time, it gets old after a while. He always talks about working out. You know, when you work out, people really don't want to hear about it unless you're paying them. And that's all he seems to talk about. So I seriously don't get why he's funny. I don't get it. The same with the Kardashians. I don't get why people watch it. I really don't. You want to live like that? Really? You want that kind of drama? How they spit men out like potato chips? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And so we can mix that all in between. Would they exist in the classic film lineup? No, they wouldn't. They would be to the side somewhere. It's like, geez, do we put them in a B movie? We can't put them in the MGM. We can't put them in RKO. Can't put them on television. That's Betty White's. And Betty White dominated that shit along with Lucille Ball. At that time in the 50s, everyone had a show. Everyone. And then every now and then they would do films. Classic films. The dark humor of the films. Those are usually the films that people sleep on. You know, there's a little bit of humor in Night of the Hunter because you've got Robert Mitchum. Robert Mitchum doesn't once take his shirt off in Night of the Hunter. That would have been funny because then if he would have had those tattoos on his chest, got, you know, hate, love and hate, which he had on his and his fingers in the Night of the Hunter, along with Shelley Winters. Shelley Winters has a very interesting career, okay? The fact that she was able to do very prolific films, you know, it wasn't Duel in the Sun, A Place in the Sun, The Diary of Anne Frank, A Patch of Blue, and she won 2 Academy Awards, and then in the 90s to do Roseanne. The same with Estelle Parsons. That's funny right there. So you've got 2 Oscar winners playing mother and daughter on Roseanne. 2 Academy Award winners. That's where we get to the dark humor. Because a lot, you know, Shelley Winters was able to flex that humor on Roseanne, as was Estelle Parsons. Yeah. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in, okay, these films, you know, what were they doing on the sidelines? This was back in the day when if you were having gay affairs, oh, that ruined your career, Tab Hunter. It didn't ruin his career, though. I know people now who are finally like, what? He was having sex with Anthony Perkins? Well, yeah. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He fucked the fly right there. I told someone that once and they went, Anthony Perkins was with men? I thought, you didn't know that? And yes, people have told me, speaking of that, that Katharine Hepburn was a big lesbian. And Liz Smith said that, the columnist. She herself did not put labels on her sexuality. She liked men and women. I disagree right there. I disagree. Yeah, she was a tomboy. But I don't get any gay vibes from Katharine Hepburn or Spencer Tracy. I don't. Come on. Let's get real here. Could you imagine, and yeah, I'm going to say this. Could you imagine Spencer Tracy saying, fuck me in the ass? No, it doesn't work that way. Or Katharine Hepburn saying, I'm going to eat your pussy. It's not going to work. Maybe finger it. But no. It's cute and it's funny because, and at the same time, it's a little pathetic because then people were like, these people are gone. We can talk shit about them. That's like when someone leaves your house, you immediately want to talk shit about them. These people are dead. It's not like they're going to come back and haunt you. Can you imagine Katharine Hepburn? Everyone out there wants to write a book about me saying I was a big dyke. I was not. Spencer Tracy's cock was 12 inches. You had to have 4 Academy Awards to take that shit. And I was willing. Itch, ache, and bake. And I helped.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. The dark humor aspect of this. Now, Elizabeth Taylor, I could picture her eating pussy. And she probably did. She probably got down with it. There's a lot of people, though. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to happen. We'll be back after these messages. And we're back on classic films and dark humor. Is it dark humor and classic films? I don't know. You know, Joan Rivers used to have a really great joke in her act. She says, oh, this business is all about casting couches. So I just want you to know my name is Joan Rivers and I put out. And she said, you know, here it's such a, you know, innocent line from a girl 27 years old. She says, half the audience laughed. She says, Jack Lemmon heard that and walked out. He said, that's disgusting. Probably because he himself benefited from the casting couch. If I was around during that time, oh, you bet your sweet ass, I would have been jumping from casting couch to casting couch. Those were crazy times. Can you just imagine? We will give you this part if you give the studio head. Okay, perfect. Boom, you get the Academy Award, your acceptance speech. I'd like to thank the studio head because he really helped me pay for this role. Yeah, on all fours. That's the element of classic films and dark humor. We know those casting couches existed, okay? It was a crazy time. Clark Gable probably pulled out his teeth and, you know, sucked a few cocks and... I don't have my keys on me. But yeah, that's the stuff of legend. Those are the things that we talk about on this film podcast. There's an originality to it. There's always going to be sex in the details, especially when it comes to a bunch of classic film stars. Robert Mitchum was married to the same woman for 50-something years and still fucked around. Then smoked that weed, too. Robert Mitchum loved weed. Robert Mitchum was cool before even Matthew McConaughey was even a thought with his Rogaine ass. Yeah. Today's stars don't really compare to yesterday's stars. They don't. You know, Faye Dunaway was trying to do it up like she was Joan Crawford. She even played Joan Crawford. It just didn't work. It didn't translate on the screen. It looked kind of like, oh God, what is that? She probably needed psychological help after doing Mommy Dearest. There are moments of Mommy Dearest where you watch it and it's really funny. Where they're on the beach and she's like, there's something missing from my life. What, a hit movie? When he says that, I start laughing. And she's like, no, I want a baby. Now, they probably parodied that in The Simpsons. Where Patty and Selma, you know, she's like, Patty, I want a baby. Yeah. Can you just imagine in Patty Selma world, the Joan Crawford twist? There's something missing from my life. What? A cigarette holder? Yeah. These are extraordinary times. We can go back and think, whoa. And that's the beauty of it. There's a lot we don't know about those classic stars. That people can just, their imagination can run wild. We are just now learning, you know, years later, the Tab Hunter and Anthony Perkins had sex. Gay sex. Probably had a couple of orgies too, a couple of threesomes. Elizabeth Taylor was sitting there just watching, smoking a cigarette. I have a theory. that I think Rock Hudson and James Dean hooked up. Because usually when you hate someone, those are the hottest fucks. It's true. Those are the hottest fucks. And they both were vying for Elizabeth Taylor's attention as her, you know, because she was their fag hag. That was the thing. And I bet at one point she just watched them and said, boys, why don't you go at it? It makes me think of Evan Rachel Wood in True Blood, where she's like, I love watching two men together. Yeah, those are the classic lines right there. And she should know because she actually played in a TV movie based off of Mildred Pierce. She was playing the Anne Blythe character, Vita, or as I like to call her, Velveeta. And Kate Winslet was playing the Joan Crawford part. So, she, you know, they had to smack some asses. I mean, come on. It's just a part of it. Now, they weren't savoring precious bodily fluids like in Dr. Strangelove. That right there is a hilarious moment. And I'll leave you with that. We're going to do a commercial. But think about that. Precious bodily fluids. You know they weren't talking about Coca-Cola, Joan Crawford. And we're back. Classic films and dark humor. Now, I just want to make it known that I don't break for Michael Bay on here. I know a lot of people... First of all, that's not classic film. Yeah, it came out in the 90s, 20-something years ago. But that's not classic film. It's kind of hard to kind of look at stuff that came out in the 90s as classic film. Maybe it's a modern-day classic. But the classic films, the first golden age of film... It's from the beginning of the century into the 1950s and 60s. And then what happened was the studio system died and you started to have filmmakers play around with nudity and language and situations. So you have Bonnie and Clyde, The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby, The Godfather, Carrie. Those are films that wouldn't have happened under the studio system. Because they were all about censorship. So then the second golden age of film is really the tail end of the 60s into the 1970s. When you had Francis Ford Coppola and Scorsese and Spielberg and the modern day blockbuster. Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Yes, I do consider Star Wars a classic film. Because that is the second golden age of film. It wouldn't have happened under studio. Could you just imagine that? We're going to create this guy called Darth Vader. And then Princess Leia and Luke may not be brother and sister. But then they try to kiss. Incest. Can you just imagine the Hayes production code? Oh, that was the other thing. So back in the day, there was it was called the Hayes censorship code. And what they had was you could not say certain words. And here's how even then they were censoring things. There is a really great classic film with Gene Harlow and Clark Gable. Clark Gable and Gene Harlow, did they mess around? Probably. It was everyone was in something back then. And she was this beautiful blonde bombshell. All right, technical difficulty as I was talking about Gene Harlow and Clark Gable. Now, they did a film together called Red Dust. They did many films together, directed by Victor Fleming. Victor Fleming went on to direct Gone with the Wind. He's the one who got sole credit for it, even though many directors worked on Gone with the Wind, including George Cukor, who was later fired from Gone with the Wind. And William Wyler, I think he worked on it as well. So, Red Dust, it is about Clark Gable. He runs this rubber plantation in Southeast Asia. and Jean Harlow is a hooker. And they become friends, and then they probably spend the night together. So then another woman comes to the plantation, Mary Astor, and her husband. And soon her and Clark Gable's character have eyes for each other. And they're sitting at the table, and they're talking about doctors because the lady's husband needs a doctor. And Jean Harlow looks at her and says, "These fucking doctors." But they bleeped her, or they cut it out. They didn't have bleeps back then. And I thought, whoa. And that was all due to the Hays production code. There's even supposedly a scene of Jean Harlow naked. Because at one point she gets into this big bucket and is taking a bath. And Clark Gable, you know, says, "You shouldn't be doing that." And she's like, I love what she looks at him. She says, "What's the matter? Afraid I'll shock the Duchess? Don't you suppose she's ever seen a French postcard before?" And those were the days. Those were the days of the Hays production code. And now you can do just about it. You can have your ding dong out or your hoo-ha in a film. So films really have changed. Now you can stream them. It's Netflix. I mean, look at that film, Mank. I still haven't watched it all the way through that came out last year. And that's about classic Hollywood. And I believe it's about Joseph Mankiewicz. And there's just a lot of situations. And, you know, also, Gary Oldman's stomach. I don't need to see that in a film. It's like, put that away. Jack Nicholson already graced us with his presence in that aspect. Or as I love what Candace Bergen once said about Jack Nicholson. Well, look what Jack did in terms of a fashion statement. He took a big old gut and turned it into a fashion statement. That's true. That's very true. The beer gut. So with classic film and dark humor, yeah. The situations present themselves. Sometimes people overshare Will Smith. Or even what's her name? Shirley, I forget her name. She supposedly had a threesome with Elizabeth Taylor and one of her husbands. That's where the classic film starts. You're like, huh? Even Gary Cooper, allegedly. Gary Cooper liked to put on women's clothes. Underwear, precisely. And Cary Grant and Randolph Scott. Here's my thing about that. I think Cary Grant just liked to have sex. Cary Grant was, you know, women were wooed by him, and so were men. That's why, you know, conservatives these days, and I know a few because I'm related to a few. Well, they didn't do that back then. First of all, homosexuals have been around longer than the GOP and longer than conservatives. Conservatives, from my mind, when they bitch and moan about sex, are usually not having a lot of sex. Yes, even Pence, Mike Pence, who refers to his wife as mother. Okay. Do I think that Mike Pence is gay? Yes. Most definitely. He looks like a porn star. He also looks like something from Children of the Corn with the white hair and, you know, the zombie eyes. Yeah. He just wants to suck you right in and take a lick. And that's how I just, kind of decompartmentalize these stars and these situations for this classic film era. So, I mean, I think they had the best fun because there was a form of anonymity back then. Mae West had many lovers. But she didn't have an Instagram. I like Instagram. I think it's great. We're connected. But there are certain things I don't want to know. I don't want to know about a reality star who's getting a divorce and is taking shots at her ex-husband and the new boyfriend and teasing. Who really cares? The fact that I'm talking about it, Fuck me for doing that, okay? It's boof. It's boof. That's what it is. It's boofy shit talk. I liked it when we just didn't know anything. Where your imagination could run wild. Okay? I'm sure with Tab Hunter, people were like, oh, and they want to have sex with him, not realizing he likes men. But it's always great to have a fantasy. Because the fantasy itself really is not a reality. I mean, it's not like I could get transported back in time and boom, I'm in a, you know, locker room with Tab Hunter. I don't know, maybe he'd call up Anthony Perkins and say, hey, let's go psycho on this bitch. No, because, you know, he wouldn't harm a fly. He wouldn't. So, yeah, it's fun dissecting everything. Even someone like Marlena Dietrich. Marlena Dietrich, who wore her sensuality on her sleeve. She was amazing. And then Greta Garbo. Greta Garbo, I want to be alone. And that's really, that sent everyone's imagination rallying around her. I was like, oh my God, she wants to be alone. Versus Madonna, who just doesn't want to be alone. She wants to always be on camera. Yeah, so there's a difference. There's a difference. Today's stars who write a cookbook. Remember with Jo Crawford? She wrote a book about food and elegance. Yeah, and that was because her career was basically over. Okay. Now, rather than getting a, you know, most of these stars, you know, your publicist issues a statement, they just put it on Twitter. So it has lost the fun and the anonymity and the, it's just lost it. I don't want to know your thoughts on Twitter. I here's the thing. There are certain stars that's like, great. Like Cher. When Cher's on Twitter, it's funny. But if someone dies, oh, rip, on Twitter. That's where I think everything is just getting a little crazy. And then the NFT and all that other shit. Yeah. So, I mean, could you imagine if Ingmar Bergman had a fucking Instagram? It would just be pictures of Liv Ullmann on a chair with her hair going one way. Maybe, you know, some clips from Seven Seal. And as a treat today on Mr. Classic Film Guy and Dark Humor, I have Miss Gloria Vanderbilt, who dated a couple of film stars. Gloria, it's nice to have you on here.
Oh, sweetheart, when I heard you were talking about classic films and dark humor, oh, my goodness, I could tell a tale unfold. Well, the Howard Hughes that Leonardo DiCaprio portrayed is nothing compared to the real deal. The real Howard Hughes fucked like a jackhammer.
Really?
He could take and make holes out of pavement. He loved to fuck holes.
Very interesting. Have you told Anderson this?
Oh, honey, I've been dead for 3 years. He hasn't once tried to seance me. But I love being on film podcasts to talk about everyone from Howard Hughes to Sidney Lumet. Sidney Lumet. Oh, my goodness. What a director and what a lover.
Thank you, Gloria Vanderbilt.
Oh, you're welcome. Classic film stars were the best. Because there was a certain, you were right, there were certain things we didn't know. Many people didn't know that Truman Capote wrote Holly Golightly about me. So basically, I am Breakfast at Tiffany's. I was an independent woman. I had men at my feet, and Bergdorf's and all that other stuff.
What do you think Truman Capote would think of now?
Oh, honey, his Twitter would be on fire. It would have been canceled multiple times.
Really?
I'll bring him in. I'm going to exit now to let Truman through. This is Gloria Vanderbilt for Classic Films and Dark Humor. Oh, stick it in.
Thank you, Gloria Vanderbilt. And now, without further ado, Truman Capote.
Yes, and Gloria brought me in. You know, in my day, we didn't talk about these things. It wasn't like I went on a talk show and said, you know, I sucked a dick the other day. And then I talked about it when we were writing Ben-Hur. Or no, I'm sorry, that was Gore Vidal. Did you ever mess around with Gore Vidal? Oh, honey, who didn't? In those Studio 54 days, people were literally fucking on tapestries. It was crazy. But you didn't talk about it. You didn't talk about it in mainstream media. It wasn't like the New York Times would say to me, Truman, tell us about the orgies. Well, I don't fucking tell. You know.
Did you really write Breakfast at Tiffany's with Gloria Vanderbilt in mind?
Yes, I did. Just as I did not help Nell Harper Lee write To Kill a Mockingbird. I am featured in the book, but you know, it was a je ne sais quoi type of thing.
What would you make of the stars of then versus the stars of now?
The stars of now are afterbirths. They are truly afterbirths. They haven't got a clue. Julia Roberts really hasn't had a hit in decades. Eat, pray, love. How about eat, pray, and fuck, honey? Are you a natural redhead? I don't think so. Neither was Lucille Ball. But, yeah. It was truly an extraordinary time.
What about Robert Mitchum? I heard...
Oh, Robert Mitchum. Robert Mitchum was sex on a stick. A little more than Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando was a pretty boy. And he could act, but he was so dumb it made you screen crawl. Robert Mitchum, I actually smoked a joint with Robert Mitchum. And it was extraordinary. That man had no boundaries. He loved to fuck women. He loved to smoke dope. He told me one time, he was on the set of a film, and he smoked some marijuana and blowed it on a girl's vagina, and boom. And they were having crazy wild sex.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What is this? People always tell me that Katharine Hepburn was a lesbian.
No, she wasn't. I can say that with all honesty. And if she was, I didn't know. I didn't really get that vibe from her. Katharine loved Spencer Tracy. Whether they were still having sex, I don't know. Maybe a dildo was involved. Or a banana. But she's not here to defend herself. She is enjoying the afterlife. So, yeah. She once said it was like a great sleep. Oh, honey, you're running around up there doing something. But, yeah. And then Spencer Tracy never once asked to suck my cock.
Really?
No. So, I don't understand all this bullshit.
Well, Liz Smith.
Liz Smith is so... She was so jealous. I wouldn't fuck her with a 2-inch screw, you know what I mean? And she was from Texas. She probably sat on a steer somewhere and had her first orgasm and had a hamburger in one half. It was truly a shit show. So when Liz Smith says something, it's like, oh, please, bitch, you're so jealous. She didn't like me. She said she did, but she didn't. She called me the little tiny terror. Well, you know what, honey? You were bigger than a steer on Queer Street.
Thank you, Truman Capote.
Don't mention it. Here's the thing about classic films. Those bitches that wrote that shit and those motherfuckers, they took their dicks out and boom, they gave you a film. John Huston had so many wives and so many hit films. His legacy is in his daughter, Angelica Houston, and his son, Tony Houston. So yeah, and it continues. And the industry has just become a shit storm. You look at someone like Michael Bay. Men get hard off of that shit, and suppose straight men who watch his films and like, when that explodes, my dick gets hard. That means you've got erectile dysfunction, psycho, whatever.
Thank you, Truman Capote.
Don't mention it.
And so this has been Mr. Classic Film Guy. If you were offended, I don't know. Go cry to Liz Smith about it.
Bye.